Welcome to Championship Bitesize, a podcast from loverability.com. My name's Dave Parkinson. I'm alongside my usual co-host, Adrian Jackson. And yes, it's this point in the week where we talk completely about the championships. Adrian, what a weekend we've seen.
A great weekend of Championship Rugby League in round three. Through some competitive games and some surprise results.
Let's start, first of all, with the championship. Have a run through those results. Dewsbury Rams 12, Featherstone Rovers 24, Keith McGoos 48, Hunslet Hawks 6, Leeson Giants 36, York City 96, Sheffield Eagles 18, Halifax 50, and Swinton Lions 26, Batley 18. You pick up the bunch there.
Well, I did say the round three of the championship and championship one had thrown up some surprise results, and that's the one at the least sports related Batley Bulldogs. Going great in the championship early doors this season under the guideship of John Kay, and they're undone by stable Cormac Swinton Lions.
It's now two losses on the bounce for John Kay and Batley Bulldogs, but how did it all go wrong? They were leading 18 points to 10 at half time. That was a game I was at, I hasten to add. Alfrey scored, Daly Williams grabbed two, and in response, Swinton had tries from Gavin Dodd and Chazai Hanson, with Mark kicking one goal. And in the second half, it was complete turnaround after the first 15 minutes, where Batley battered the Swinton line almost into submission. Swinton went up the other end of the field and scored. Next thing you know, 18-16, game on, and he just grew in confidence and scored two further tries, did the Lions. Great result for them.
It was, they showed a lot of hype in that second half as well. Batley 18-10 up at half-time, they'd have been hoping to put the job done and really post a healthy score in their favour, but Swinton rolled up the sleeves and took the chances.
Batley coach John Kay, not for the first time this season, disappointed by his side's effort. Here he is now.
I think it's very disappointing. You know, I mean, I think Swinton gave us a scare early on, and we managed to repel that. We got ourselves in front, but I think at 18 points to 10, I think we sensed that the job was done. Well, it ain't done, you know. And the second half, they completely outplayed us. We didn't look creative at all, which was a worry. I thought there was enough work going forwards, but there wasn't enough creativity. And again, I'm very disappointed we conceded three tries in the second half as well. You know, I know. You could say one was fortuitous when Watson put the ball up, but as a fullback or a winger, your job's to catch the ball. You know, it's not to worry about whether it's going to ricochet and they're going to get a bit of luck if to catch it.
Okay, we've heard from the loser, John Kay. Let's hear from the winner's corner. Steve McCormack was a very happy boy indeed.
Well, Steve, first league victory, and it was well earned as well.
Yeah, very much so. I think, you know, to get any league win in this division is tough, but to get a league win against a side like Batley, thoroughly deserved. I can't speak highly enough of the players. You know, first half I thought was a bit unfortunate to concede the 18 points we did, but second half to nil them, a side like Batley with some of the strike players in there, was excellent and thoroughly deserved as well. I think over the last couple of weeks we've not quite got what we deserved out of games. You know, we've played consistently well, but just lacked that cutting edge. But today we had that, and delighted for the players.
A lot of character shown as well, particularly in the first 15 minutes of the second half, because they put quite a bit of pressure on the line, didn't they?
They did. They probably did what we've done over the last couple of weeks. You know, we've been a team that we've put a lot of pressure on our opposition line, not quite scored, and then opposition have gone the other end of the field and scored with their first set, and that's what we did today. I think first 15-20 minutes we defended our goal line consistently and constantly for that period, and our first good ball set in Batley's near Batley's line we scored, so that was good to see. It's nice that we'd like to think we've learnt a few lessons from some of the other games we played. Some of the execution of our tries was excellent. I thought anybody, you know, watching there, you know, I was quite entertained myself watching the players. They had a little bit of freedom to play, and to score that many points and obviously to concede that little, certainly after half time, was pleasing.
Obviously you rely a lot on what Ian Watson brings to the side and what have you, and he just kind of holds it all together, doesn't he?
He does, but Watt will be the first to admit it. We can't do it on his own. I think you look at any scrum half from any team, you know, I look at John Duffy for Lee and I look at Gareth Moore for Batley, and you go through the whole divisions, they rely on the seven to organise us, and Watto's an outstanding organiser, but he'll be the first to admit he's got to have people around him. He's got to have people like Mike Morrison and Carl Forster, who I thought was immense in that first spell. You know, unsung heroes like Darren Orchard and Dale Cunniff, and that's what we have. We've got to play well every week if we're going to, you know, we've got to play to our full potential every week if we're going to win. And today we grafted, we showed a lot of guts, determination, a lot of resilience, and we got what we deserved.
Onward and upward, derby game on the horizon next week. Is it going to be a race to the home dressing room?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the situation is there. I mean, this is Leeds ground, isn't it? So, you know, we're just thankful that Leeds given us the opportunity to play a fantastic stadium, and we can't wait for Friday. And I'm sure the Lee public and Lee players can't. There's a lot of connections between both clubs, players, supporters, backroom staff. You know, it's I always love coming here. You know, it's a fantastic stadium, brilliant supporters, the Lee supporters, and our supporters got behind us. So, good Friday derby. You know, it's one that we worked very hard last year to play in derbies like this, and to have a Lee derby on Good Friday at our home or our away stadium is brilliant.
The Lee Sports Village seems to be the place to go for victories, because on the Friday, Lee posted a big victory against York City tonight, so you'll find their life hard in the Championship once again.
Bobby was only in the first half, as far as Lee Centurions were concerned. They scored 5 tries. John Duffy getting the ball rolling after 6 minutes. Greg McNally responding with a second after 14 minutes. We saw a sparkling hat-trick from Johnny Pownall, who has only recently come back into the side from a broken jaw. Ricky had also opened the season account with tries. Gardner scored in the second half, and Ricky had kicked 4 goals from 7. Brett Turner scored the only try as far as the City Knights were concerned right at the start of the second half. And whereas in the first half, Lee Centurions were all about the attack, the second half was all about the defence, because the All City Knights threw everything but the proverbial kitchen sink at Lee.
The damage was done in the opening 40, and they were confident to get the job done.
Let's get some reaction, starting first of all with the losers. And here's John Tamsey talking about his time on the field and his time at York.
Joined by Jordan Tansey, York City Knights, and perhaps not the finish to the game that he was looking for, given the preparation all week.
No, a bit disappointing. Obviously, they came out firing first half. I think they played real well. But yeah, we didn't start very well, and we paid it.
I believe that you only had about 6 or 7 sets in the first half. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Once they controlled the ball well, they finished every set. I think they only didn't complete 2 sets of full first half, so they dominated us, and we didn't get much ball, and when we did, we dropped it or did a mistake, so it's hard to play when you don't have no ball.
Second half was better. There was that try right at the start, and yeah, for long periods you did seem to have Lee on the back foot in their own half.
Yeah, we started first half, first set we scored, so they couldn't have asked for much better, but we still let them come back into it, but a lot closer and more positive to take out at second half, but still we need to start again well and play well first half.
How are you going so far? Are you enjoying your time over at York?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Good set of lads, and we just need to start getting a few wins together and everyone will be a lot happier. But no, it's good, and just happy that I'm playing rugby.
I noticed that you're sort of alternating as well between full-back and half-back. Is that working for you as well?
Yeah, obviously I love playing full-back. That's my position. But in attack as well, I can jump in at half as well, take a bit of control to help the team. So yeah, as long as I'm attacking, and I enjoy that.
Now, from a man who hasn't probably seen that much of York this season, you know, admittedly, how's it been going for you so far? I noticed that now that's sort of 3 losses, but you had a really close game the other week against Halifax.
Yeah, we played well against Halifax. We just came up short last play again, but yeah, 3 losses, but we just need to work hard in training, and hopefully next week, Unslit, we start getting back on wagon and play well and hopefully get a win and move on from there.
That's going to be an interesting one, because I know, as well as York bringing in a few players, they've also signed so many players as well.
Yeah, I think we've got a few ex-Unslit players. So.
Yeah, you like your Tommy Hockey's and that.
Yeah, so obviously they want to play well. So no, it should be a good game, and it'll be enjoyable playing against them.
Jordan Tansey, a very classy player, and to be honest, if York are attracting players of that calibre, they're heading in the right way, aren't they?
Well, you mentioned they're attracting players of that calibre. Unfortunately, they're not producing the goods on the field, are they? So there's obviously something wrong within the structure of the club. The coach needs to get to grips with very quickly, or they're going to find themselves at the wrong end of the table for the rest of the season.
I'm sure Chris Foreman is looking hard as we speak at that, but let's have a bit of winner's reaction. I caught up with young Centurions prop Sam Hopkins.
Sam Hopkins, we're after the game against York, 36-6, decent win in the end. How did you see it?
Yeah, we went well. Like, lads worked hard in training past week, and big improvement on last game. Like, a couple lads come off the bench, made some impacts, and we went well. Like,
yeah, I thought defensively, the side's been hemorrhaging points over the last few weeks, and today it was a freak try that they scored, and that was it.
it was just a bit unlucky, the bounce really, that he got. Everything else went well, like we was all confident in our D this week, everyone was working hard for each other, pushing on the inside and that, and just building a bit of confidence for the next game. Like,
talking about confidence, you're playing with some confidence at the minute, aren't you? You know, you've sort of pushed your way into more first team recognition this year.
Yeah, been going well, like, especially the first part of the season. Like, I've been playing some friendlies, I had no pressure, so going well, like, but I had a bit of a shocker against Fev over the week and knocked my confidence a bit, but been working hard in training and got back into the swing of things, so been up bench today, impact when I came on, like, so hopefully I can work my way back to the starting team. Like,
you were certainly pushing him back as well. I mean, you know, these are some experienced forwards.
Yeah, well, Rose was, he gave me a couple of goals before the match, like, so one of them was to be aggressive, so that was, like, took upon myself to be aggressive in D.
That's never a problem, is it?
No, not really, but sometimes, like, when you get a bit tired, you lack a bit of aggression and things like that, so glad that I stuck through it with today and, like I said, did well.
Now, looking forward to the next game, local derby. It's going to be a case of who gets in home dressing room first, isn't it?
I know, a few lads have been talking about it, but I don't really know what's happening. It's our dressing room, really, so I don't think we should have no problem.
But are you looking forward to that game? So obviously, yeah. Meeting up with several players that you played with last season.
Yeah, there's like more or less the full team. I've been at Lee before. There's like quite a few lads, so looking forward to it. Should be a good game. We've got a new kit and that, so that should be a bit of an experience.
Hopkins there, obviously delighted at the victory and delighted that the league defence has tightened up, because the last time out in the Challenge Cup, we conceded 26 points to London Scholars.
They've obviously got the tackling bags out in preparation for this game against York.
The only game that really I want to go into any depth on, I think, Adrian, is that one over at Sheffield, because I didn't expect Halifax to run away with it in the way that they did. 50 points to 18 is a shellacking in anybody's book.
No one would have expected that at all, because the Eagles are a real dangerous team with a tough opposition on their own patches. But all that, to be honest with you, want to get it, it's been like the league game, the damage was done in that first half, wasn't it? Sheffield giving themselves far too much to do in the second half, you're 20 points to 6 down at half time.
Couple of tries there from Asher Hall, couple of tries there from Penkovic, who was actually celebrating his 200th game for the Halifax club. Paxton, it's good to see him back. He's scored a try and kicked 7 goals, while Sheffield pays off tries from Bram Barney, Higgins and McDonald, with that ace goal kicker Brown landing 3. But it wasn't enough, and a disappointing defeat for Sheffield, which leaves them down in 5th in the table.
Halifax, they've unbeaten Kyle Harrison, going about his job rather quietly, isn't he? He's not talking the talk, he's just letting the talking be done on the pitch. And they're going to be pushed all the way by Featherstone with a hard fought victory against Dewsbury.
Yeah, interesting there that Chase kicked a 79th minute penalty to get a share of a bonus point there. But that said, are you still a fan of these bonus points, or do you think it's a hindrance of the game?
I mean, it's been a great introduction to the championships, and maybe it's something the Super League clubs should have a look at as well, because it means the games are fully competitive for the 80 minutes.
So we've already talked about the top two. We know who the fifth place club is. Let's fill in the blanks. Keith Lear in 3rd, Jimmy Rounds in 4th, Batley down in 6th, Lee Centurion 7th, Swinton Lions 8th, York City 9th, Ulster Hawks 10th, and bottom.
Next round of the Championship is round 4. Now, normally on the Easter period, teams in the Championship play Good Friday and Easter Monday, but for 2012, they're only playing once. Right, here's the fixtures for the Championship in round 4. On Good Friday, Batley Bulldogs take on Dewsbury Rams, Halifax versus Keighley, Lee Centurions have a derby game against Swinton Lions at the Lee Sports Village. On Saturday, Featherstone Rovers are at home to Sheffield Eagles, and on Sunday, it's Hunslet take on York City Knights. And I think the big game of the weekend is going to be that one at the Big Fella Stadium, Featherstone Rovers versus Sheffield Eagles.
It's a replay of last year's grand final, isn't it? And let's hope that Sheffield Eagles are able to put that big defeat behind them, because the team that you don't want to be coming up against straight after taking a bit of a tonking, to be honest, is Featherstone. I mean, Featherstone, they can do exactly the same thing.
Interesting to see which way that goes, doesn't it? Featherstone unbeaten, Sheffield had a disappointing result. They were looking to bounce back to winning ways. We mentioned one kind of northwest derby between Lee and Swinton Lions, but the big derby is a heavy woolen derby, isn't it? And that's Batley versus Dewsbury.
So, Adrian, we've gone through the fixtures. We spoke about who's playing who. Give us your tips for this week.
We're going to stick a pound on my tips and maybe get you some well-earned extra cash for the Easter period. I'm going to go for a home win for Batley, home win for Halifax, a home win for Lee Centurions, home win for Featherstone, and away win for York.
There you go. Your Easter extravaganza starts. that here in the Championship. Let us now move on to Championship One and some fascinating results in round three. We had Doncaster 46, Southwell Scorpions 12, Gateshead Thunder 18, Whitehaven 30, North Wales Crusaders 18, Rochdale Hornets 54, Oldham 32, Barrow Raiders 26, and Workington Town 27, London Scholars 20. And for me, the game which I want to concentrate on first of all was the game you went to, Adrian, which was North Wales Crusaders taking on Rochdale Hornets.
Great game of rugby league as well, very committed by both teams to the cause. Unfortunately for all the Crusaders, they came up against a very classy Rochdale Hornets outfit, and John Stankovich to play an exciting brand of rugby league, very attacking minded.
They've also got some big boys, haven't they? I mean, you certainly look round, and the fact that they've got Freddish coming in, they've got Cookson, they've got Bowman there. These are big mobile men, aren't they?
Yeah, and they've got a lot of clever ball handlers around that can create the gaps for the back line to exploit and get them to try on the board, and they really blew the North Wales Crusaders out the water. This was despite the Crusaders having the best start of the game by scoring first through Chris Wilkes after 6 minutes of lunch. Rochdale settled down to their style of rugby league. Crusaders, they were always chasing shadows.
28 points to 4 at half time, and they just carried on in the second half, didn't they, that round?
It did, because they ended up being 54-18, didn't they? It was a great comeback from North Wales Crusaders. Fair play to them, give it a dig. Fully committed for the full 18, then through the white towel, and unfortunately Rochdale Hornets were just far too classy.
Adrian caught up with Rochdale coach John Stankovich, and this is what he had to say.
John Stankovich, a slow start here at the Racecourse Ground, but all in all, it's a dominant performance.
Yeah, I was pleased obviously with the final score, and I think, I think we were 46-4, 46-8 up at one point as well, and I think a couple of late tries that, probably flattered North Wales a little bit, but overall, I thought we played some really, really good stuff with the ball.
And tries scored overall, and some good attacking rugby league play.
Yeah, it's something that we've been working on, obviously, this season and last season, the year before, and, I'm sort of a coach that likes getting the ball moving. I think most fans at clubs that I've coached will be able to tell you that. And, it takes time, though, things take time to come off and get timing right. And last week, as Steve Toller put some new things in place that didn't quite come off, and caused us to make a few errors, and we started that way today as well, to be fair. A couple of forward passes in there, but we ironed out sort of after 15-20 minutes, and I thought from that point on we were completely dominant.
Did you make the opposition from the North Wales?
Well, we've already played them obviously this year already. We played them in pre-season friendly, beat 50 points to 22, only with half our team out, so I knew sort of they couldn't get any better than that. I knew that we had a hell of a lot more to give than the conceded 50 points as we did last time. But North, they've got some threats in there. John O'Smith's a really good player at 13, and Leon Brennan, who played centre today, is a good player, played a half back against us last time, and probably was the biggest thorn outside the back end of this game, really, with taking the line on. Thought it was quite unusual to play him out of position today. I didn't think that helped them out at all. I thought most Dale at half back as well, he's another decent player, but overall I thought we handled the threats really well. I thought our fellas up front were outstanding. The big front rowers that we've got, Phil Bradish obviously on Darius today was outstanding, and I think he's in one game he's really put pressure on the other front rowers that didn't get selected today.
Both teams reduced to 12 men. Who do you think adapted to the 12 man game and better?
I think it got a bit scrappy, to be honest, after that. I thought at the point of the sending offs, I thought we were well in control. I thought it'd give them a little bit of impetus really to roll the sleeves up and force the pass, and they did that, and it caused us a few problems. But I think sort of our urgency dropped off a little bit in the back 10 minutes. Like I say, we probably gifted them two late tries, and it sort of brought the score down a little bit closer, but I thought it was certainly a 50-point margin was probably a fair result.
In terms of confidence, what was this do to the boys?
To be honest, we were never not confident. We were always confident. We're always confident in our ability to throw the ball around and defend. I think we get a little bit frustrated at times when things don't come off as well as we'd planned them to. It gives us a hell of a boost going into the Oldham game. This is coming Friday, as it is. Short turnaround, we'll prepare the right way. There's a few bumps and bruises in there. Lads are in the pool tomorrow night. Wednesday night, we'll prepare for Oldham coming along, watch a bit of video and do some teamwork. But no, you mark my words, Friday, we'll be going out there all guns blazing in the derby.
In terms of preparation, is this a good workout ahead of the Easter programme?
It's a weekend we'll look forward to. We've not had our best days over the past 2 years against Oldham. We beat them in the playoffs last year, but past that, I think we lost home and away both seasons. so we'll be looking to get one over on them in the league. I think they've had a tough game today at home to Barrow. Hopefully they'll have been bashed around a little bit and we can continue on Friday.
John Stankovic, always a positive coach, and he's got a job on his hands coming up against an Oldham side. Now, this is an Oldham side which managed to beat Barrow Raiders 32-26. It's an Oldham side that currently sits top of the Cooperative Championship one table with 3 wins. They're undefeated so far this season. And, well, when you've got the likes of Lucas Onyango still playing for Oldham, they've got plenty of pace on them.
Scoring plenty of points as well, aren't they? And they're not conceding too many as well at Oldham. So it'll be an interesting battle in that Manchester derby against Rochdale Hornets. But Oldham will be hoping to get the victory and maintain their 100% start.
Ballymore has been a great signing for Oldham so far. He's found himself amongst the points again. A drive and 4 goals from 6 attempts. And Barrow Raiders, they'll be disappointed to have lost out there, but I suppose they can console themselves with the bonus point. But I'm sure they would have been going there, knowing that it's a dress rehearsal for a Challenge Cup tie that's going to be coming up against the two sides. Now, what do you make of Gateshead Thunder's start to the season? Yes, we look at the table. Yes, they've lost the first 3 games, but they've won 2 bonus points, and they also won a bonus point in the game just past against Whitehaven. Now, this is big improvements for me as far as the Thunder are concerned.
It has been a big improvement from Gateshead Thunder, because in seasons gone by, they've been the whipping boys off the Championship, one being on the end of some heavily embarrassing results. Under the guardianship of Kevin Neighbour, he certainly highlighted the weaknesses within their game and strengthened up the defence.
Another team that seems to be scoring plenty of points at the moment is Doncaster. Now, I make it that they're the top scorers in Cooperative Championship 1, and they put 46 points past South Wales Scorpions. That's a real disappointing result for the Scorpions, isn't it?
There's a lot of talent within that South Wales Scorpions outfit. It's a very strong outfit for this division. And yeah, I suppose Dave Clark will be very disappointed the way the season started.
But Paul Cook, he's inspired Doncaster, hasn't he? And they've also got Kieran Hyde coming in now on dual contract from Wakefield. And he does a really good job as well. I noticed he was on the score sheet. And they've got Lee Waterman as well. He's just a one-man points machine. He's like the equivalent of Championship 1 Mick Manning, to be honest. He scored 6 tries last week when they played against Shelston in the Cup. He followed that up with a try and a goal as well. So he certainly knows where that line is.
I think the key to the success of Doncaster, you named them already, is Paul Cork. He's still a class act. They need that far too good of a player to begin the Championship 1. Great signing for Doncaster. And I honestly think Paul Cork still got the ability to play in Super League.
Now, we talked about Gateshead Thunder improving. Another side that he's definitely on the improve is London Scholars. They had an overnight stop in Cumbria before taking on Workington Town. And they were ever so close. It was 16-all at half-time, but eventually Workington Town just getting in front of them and beating them 27-20.
Well, then, bonus point for London Scholars. And again, Joe McBree's doing a great job with the men from London. Again, you know, I get to that maybe a few years ago, were the whipping boys, but this season, they seem to be made the stronger stuff. And we've got someone like Adi Adebisi with his top try-scoring talent. You're always going to get tries, and he's got a hat-trick on Sunday.
Adi Adebisi, regular try scorer throughout his career, very, very unlucky to be on the losing side. Also a player of the talented Dylan Ski as well. You mentioned Paul Cook, unlucky to be playing at practice level of rugby. Dylan Ski for me is a Championship halfback. You're only getting around a Championship one side. I am really tipping London Scholars this season. I think at home they will be so difficult to beat.
I mean, seasons gone by, like the Championship clubs and Super League, the Championship 1 boys would have been expected to play 2 matches over the Easter period, but like the boys in the Championship, there's only one game to concentrate on over this period of the season.
Yeah, and the fixture as far as the league is concerned, on Friday, Barrow Raiders host Gateshead Thunder, Doncaster host London Scholars. That's not going to be a straightforward tie for them. Rochdale Hornets are home to Oldham, Whitehaven at home to Workington Town. Monday sees North Wales Crusaders take on the South Wales Scorpions, and one of the outstanding Northern Rail Cup ties will also take place on Easter Monday when London Scholars are at home to Toulouse. You Scholars fans, it's a 12:30 kick-off, so set your alarms early. Now, if you want me to have my 2 pennies, Adrian put his money where his mouth is and started to tip those teams in the Championship. Here's my little tip for the winners of this weekend's fixtures. I think Barrow have too much for Gateshead. London Scholars, I am tipping to actually pull off a shock result against Doncaster. I think Rochdale advantage. We'll see them home against Workington Town. And I think that South Wales Scorpions will go to North Wales Crusaders and actually win. But if you're asking me about the Northern Rail Cup, I think that a London Scholars team will be a little bit tired from their exploits on the Friday and they'll certainly lose out to Toulouse. That's just about all that we've got time for on this edition of Bite Size.